With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's new Hollywood podcast. I am Dino Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka.
And on this episode, we have... Don't call her an influencer.
Don't call her an influencer, because we learned that's not the term that they like. Anna-like.
Yeah, Anna Akana. Yeah. She's currently starring in a YouTube Red series called Youth and Consequences. And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember her in Ant-Man?
She was in Ant-Man?
Yes.
She was at the very end.
Wow.
Yeah,
what's her part?
She was a journalist that Anthony Mackie, or the Falcon, went to see.
Which
that
is
led
Anthony
him.
Mackie.
Yeah, yeah. led. She was the source that led him to Ant-Man. I think that's how it is. Like, remember in the end, it was that fast cut scene where there was like a voiceover? She was in it.
Oh.
You have to remember.
Wait, speaking of Ant-Man, I have a topic. So, do you guys find it weird that all these like big blockbuster movies are being released like so close together?
People were just talking about this.
Yeah, because like we just got done with, it started with Black Panther, then we got thrown Infinity War, and then we just got done with Deadpool,
and
now we have Solo, and like in another 2 months we have Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man is actually next month, June.
June. Oh, yeah. So it's like...
Yeah. No, it's July.
I thought it was July.
No, it's like the 4th of July weekend.
Isn't there something coming out in June?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Incredibles?
Too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's basically Disney
and that's
summer.
That's all Disney. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you find that weird? Like, do you think it's getting like maybe
oversaturated?
I'm just waiting for the day that Disney acquires the rights to Harry Potter and then relaunches that. They're probably just waiting like 10 years for the popularity to die down like a little bit.
Yeah.
Grab it and then make like
This teaser at like D23. They'll announce it and everyone will go fucking crazy.
Yeah. Ugh. Including me.
Yeah, I will too.
I'll be celebrating my 40th birthday.
Have you ridden that ride at Universal Studios?
Yeah.
Does it make you sick?
It did the first couple times, but they changed it. It used to be in 3D.
It still
now
makes
it's not
me,
in,
it still
it's not
makes
3D
me sick.
Anymore.
You guys, I'm really embarrassed to say I've only seen the first Harry Potter.
And movie. You've never read them?
Never read them.
Have you been to the Universal Studios ride?
No, I haven't. Let me tell you why I haven't read. Because when I was... From second grade to eighth grade, I was in private school. It was a Christian Baptist school.
They not get...
You weren't allowed to read.
That's those, heresy.
Those are books about witches and wizards, and that's like, you know,
that's the devil's
that was
work.
Devilish. So we were. I so
see. That's so sad because people who go to like those types of schools would probably relate to
Harry Potter.
Like,
so yeah.
Have they seen The Craft? That was a private
school. We couldn't
watch.
We couldn't talk about that. We couldn't talk about any of that stuff. I remember it was very strict. Girls had to wear dresses. It had to be below our knees. We had to stay 6 inches away from guys. Like, we actually had to measure and say, like, if you're talking to a guy, you have to, like, be armed.
Okay,
out.
What?
It was great, but a couple people did get pregnant. A couple people did get pregnant, so people weren't following the rules.
Aren't, like, private school, like, kids, they're, like, the worst.
Oh, my gosh. We are, like, I mean.
Because they're caged.
Yeah.
They're caged animals,
when I
basically.
Went to public school, I, like, literally did not know anything. Like, I was this like really green person. I remember my first experience, I was trying out for volleyball. I had the ball was coming. I told a girl, I said heads. I used to say heads, like heads up.
Yeah.
This girl was like, what did you say? And I was like, heads, the ball was coming to your head. He's like, don't ever say that to me.
What?
And I was like, what does that mean? And then they told me what it meant. Anyways, so that's why I haven't seen Harry Potter,
because
I grew
because
up.
Because you
I grew up,
grew
in,
up in
and I just yeah.
An unfun school.
It's never too late.
I mean, it's
Harry
not
Potter.
Honestly.
But if
I
you
mean,
do want to wait 10 years for Disney to
I think
buy
I,
it,
I think
just,
I might
yeah.
as well just wait
yeah.
to the next iteration.
I mean, it's all on HBO. HBO Go right now, so you might as well.
Is. Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, it's all of it. The whole catalog.
Okay, maybe I will watch
including
it.
Fantastic Beasts.
I mean, Fantastic
I've seen
Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts, and I'm going to see the sequel when it comes out, because I actually liked Fantastic Beasts.
Harry Potter is much better than
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, how many movies? Like,
There are eight movies total.
I hate when there's so many. Why can't they just cap it at three or four?
But because anyway, we're in money. America.
Yeah, and they make money. That makes sense. Anyways, so Anna, she schooled us on like the terms about what social, because I never knew what to call social media stars. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And social media.
And then like I was actually, we talk about the term influencer, and I was actually scared to ask her about that. But she came out with a really strong answer, which we'll let you hear for yourself.
We'll let you hear. So without further ado, here is Anna.
Hello, we would like to welcome Anna Akana to Deadline's New Hollywood podcast.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for stopping by our podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we are just going to go ahead and start, dig right into it. The hard hitting questions.
As opposed to not start and just sit here and do nothing.
we're just going to go ahead and end right here. No. So you're known for many things. You're a Renaissance woman.
Oh, thank you.
Primarily your YouTube channel. That's kind of how you got your start. But how have you seen the YouTube landscape change since you first kind of started?
Yeah, I mean, when I first was aware of YouTube, it was OG YouTube, where you just went there to see like fail videos, cat videos, nothing of actual substance. And I remember keeping an eye on it, and through the years, there slowly started to emerge what became known as the vlogger. Mm-hmm. People who would do monologues to camera that were then punctuated with comedic cutaways, or even just people who did daily vlogging where they just brought you along to the grocery store. And I think it's wonderful now because I've been able to see YouTube really emerge as a platform comparable to Netflix or Amazon, where they're pumping traditional money into digital talent and creating star vehicles for us.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people have had success with YouTube, but there's also, I don't know, I have a thing with like the whole YouTube thing and people like wanting to be famous from YouTube. Mm-hmm. People just kind of put things out there to get likes. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the I guess the younger generation of mm-hmm. of YouTube what is it, like YouTube star, like vloggers or stars? Like, I mean, recently it was in the news about Logan Paul. He insulted, or he went to this
The Japanese thing.
Yeah,
He just made a not wise decision.
Yeah, not wise decision. And then right after that, he had the thing where he tased the dead rat, you know? And it's like a lot of these things, and I feel like he's probably doing it for attention, but it's like, this is not, you know, to me, it's not like the kind of content that you, for somebody who wants to be famous on YouTube, like kind of like how you are, you want to be associated with. Like, what do you kind of think about stuff?
Well,
like
every platform always has the attention seekers, right? Like, even like I grew up in stand up and acting, and even then everyone was delusional of like, I'm in this to be famous and for the money and for the vaginas or the balls, you know? And so then we had reality TV, and people were like trashy in reality TV just for fame. And now it's just, every new platform that there is, there's going to be the people who are in it for the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. but will get attention because no one else is willing to stoop that low. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't mind being necessarily associated in quotes with that, because it's not reflective of what I put out into the world. It's just like if I was like, hey guys, like, what do you think of this tabloid? Because you're also Deadline.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a completely different viewpoint and opinion there, whereas print is simply just your platform. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I've always viewed YouTube, as not really taking on the stigma of what, you know, the scum of our website really presents itself as. Mm-hmm. Everyone on the platform is different, has a different voice to offer, and unfortunately we do have the Logan Pauls who mm-hmm. are exploiting people and cultures in order to get eyeballs.
Yeah. It's very funny you mentioned kind of like that progression of there's always going to be attention seekers. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember you mentioned The Real World, and I remember when The Real World first started, like in New York, with Heather B. and Eric Mies.
She knows the names and everything.
I am a Real World stan. I will watch, well, no, I don't watch it anymore, but like,
it doesn't come on anymore.
Is it on still?
No, it's not on anymore.
Okay.
But they started off, it was like this kind of social experiment, and then they had jobs. They would actually do something. Like, there would be a goal with each season. And I think
I want to say at Vegas, it stopped having that goal. I think so, with Trishel.
Yeah, and just became like, let's see how many people can have sex with each other.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Like, get as drunk as possible and stuff
and
like
then
that.
The, and then the real world road rules challenge came along and it just changed the game. But yeah, it's very interesting how you kind of likened those two. And I never kind of connected and how like YouTube is this platform, but people will abuse it or, not a, well, is abuse the right word or...
I think exploit themselves. Yeah. They're willing to do whatever it takes, I think, to get attention and to get eyeballs because they know people want to see shocking things. Mm-hmm. And it's harder and harder to shock audiences now.
So do you think, I know with the whole Logan Paul thing, it was a whole, this big thing about YouTube should remove him or should, like, you know, ban him for using the platform. Do you think that they should maybe increase a bit of the policing when it comes to the content? Because that's not what they were created for in the first place, right?
I think I haven't read all the YouTube policies, so I'm sorry if I'm misspeaking here, but I heard he didn't technically violate any of the policies. I mean, mm-hmm. they revoked his monetization as a Google partner, which disables him from making millions every month. So mm-hmm. I think that is a good step forward. I think it's hard because once you get into policing people too hard, like it's the line of like, well, it's his right to make what he wants to make, you know? It's not our fault that society wants to see that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly irresponsible, and I'm glad the world called him out for it, but I'm not sure banning is necessarily the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, it gets into the whole censorship thing. And yeah, you don't want to go too far with that.
Well, so speaking of YouTube, you have a show, a little show, called Youth and Consequences. I guess, like, what was, like, the catalyst for that, and what inspired you to make the show? I'm sure you probably it has, like, gotten kind of comparisons to Mean Girls and mm-hmm. Heathers and that, but it kind of has a twist on it, mm-hmm. and, like, has this, like, Gossip Girl feel to it. But where did it all start for you with Youth and Consequences?
My manager, Tom, actually sent me Jason Ubaldi's script. Uh-huh. He's the creator and writer of the show, and I read it, and I fell in love with it. I mean, Farrah's whole thing is she uses the sort of Mean Girls facade to get what she wants, but she's incredibly justice. It was like if a social justice warrior was a mean girl in school and kind of hiding her morals because she saw that as a vulnerability she didn't want anyone to exploit. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. I love the idea that you were okay enough with yourself to be disliked and do whatever you wanted, and you kind of executed revenge against people you thought were wronging innocent people. And so I met with Jason and we just clicked so hard. We're both like little teen girls. Like, he's like this 45-year-old man and I'm like this 30-year-old woman. And we're just like, yes. But we vibed really hard. And so we took it out to pitch around and YouTube was interested in giving us a shot. And I loved it because I've known them to be very freeing creatively. They really trust your voices. And I've heard with network, there's a lot of red tape. You know, I've seen pilot scripts get demolished when they finally come out and seem nothing like the originally scripted thing. So I was really excited for that opportunity.
And I read in the, like, I think it was in a past interview with you that the it was a very women-centric crew. Mm-hmm. And how did you have anything to do with that? Or, like, were you kind of driving for that kind of diversity and inclusion when you were making the show?
Yeah, I mean, we had all female directors.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's a primarily female ensemble cast, at least 50% female crew. And I was really lucky. Mark Gordon Company and YouTube off the bat were like, this is important to us. We want it to be a diverse cast. We don't want to whitewash this. And we want female empowerment to be something that we're backing up behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So it was off the bat. They were already on board with that, which was mm-hmm. awesome.
Were the characters written with specific ethnicities or was it just kind of...
It was just whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just a conscious effort to be like, let's see all the diversity that we can for every role. Mm-hmm.
So, like, do you take, like, things from, do you like to take things from your own background and, like, kind of insert them into like, the things that you do?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm a huge advocate of that.
Yeah. So, I read that you were, like, you're Japanese, you're Filipino, and... There's
I'm like Hawaiian and a bunch of white stuff.
Wait, you're Filipino?
She's Filipino.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah, Filipino pride.
So, like, what kind of, like, influences did you see kind of growing up? Like, who did you look up to?
I mean, Lucy Liu was like the
she was probably the only one.
Yeah, her, Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee, Mulan. I was like, I got Mulan, the Yellow Power Ranger.
Yeah, I love the Yellow Power Ranger.
But you know, I actually. actually seeing Margaret Cho perform stand-up is what made me pursue comedy, because I was like, oh my god, she looks like me and she's like really funny and she's doing the things. So I didn't have too many people to look up to, you know, it was like a handful, but still, like, I think just having that was enough to push me in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Power Rangers. Do you know she died?
Yeah,
I didn't know she died. Yeah, I found it out recently.
With Margaret Cho, which comedy special was it?
Oh man,
was it I'm the One That I Want? There was another one after
there
that.
Was another, I think it was I'm the One That I Want,
because I loved that one. Yeah.
I love her more recent one too, all the political jokes in it. I die,
because I do remember in the I'm the One That I Want, it was like a very personal one, because it was talking about her experience making All American Girl, and like how they bought in an Asian consultant to come like on set to make the show more Asian, and it was like a white person, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah.
So wait, you grew up in the States, right?
Yes.
Are you first generation?
Yes.
Okay. How, like, that's really, we're first generation too. Oh, nice. Like, yes. Yeah. So when you wanted to get into like to acting and to performing, like how did your parents kind of? Because
they laughed. Yeah,
it's kind of the same narrative, but it's like it's the same but different for everyone.
It's like we were just talking about this, and like our parents were like, you know, when you go to school or whatever, you have the three different majors that you can know, and that's the only thing that matters.
Engineering, medicine, what was the other
law.
Yeah. everything else is not a real profession. Yeah. Like there's no money in it, like you hear that all the time. So like when you getting into the entertainment industry, it's like, what the F are you thinking?
What was like the kind of turning point for your parents to be all, oh, was it when you got like a big paycheck, or was it like
they were actually the first time they saw me do stand up.
Okay.
They
were cool.
Incredibly supportive. I mean, I also like, I lost my little sister like in 2007 to suicide. And so they experienced like me and my brother just going through intense depression. And so when we started going into entertainment and really enjoying it and really feeling alive again, I think they were like, okay, you know, you do what you want. We understand now life is precious. Like we want you guys to live lives that you're happy with.
Oh wow. Yeah, because like I think that kind of narrative where it is about, you know, your parents, especially if they're immigrants, they just want to see you succeed.
Yeah,
but they want you to succeed in how they think you should succeed.
Yeah. Or just kind of how they know what's, because they don't, like, my parents are from Nigeria, and you don't succeed in a lot of things in Nigeria other than being a doctor. You don't even really succeed as a lawyer, to be honest, because nobody really uses lawyers there.
No one's suing each other in Nigeria. No,
they don't, there's no such thing as suing or, like, so, but anyways, like, so that's what they kind of knew as being successful, living in a third world country and seeing, like, you know, what, kind of like what they were exposed to when it comes to American culture was, these are the professions that make money, nothing else, like I said. Nothing else is real, basically. Mm-hmm. Nothing else could you can make a good living off of. But
well, they're definitely more proud of me now than money. There's like a lot more Facebook sharing posts on my dad's.
Oh
end.
Yeah. It's good. So funny when like your parent, like, yeah, when my dad's on Facebook now and something.
We're all on Facebook.
Like, my dad's on Facebook. Anymore. Yeah. And, things aside, our politics don't match up a lot. So he's been posting some stuff. But then, like, when I went to the Oscars and he was all, my son wrote this blog post. Blog post, Dad? So my son wrote this blog post. Read it. And he writes in all caps.
Oh my God. He's just yelling at everyone.
So it's like the dad Facebook version. But, anyways.
Great. No, I love it. So just going back.
Moving on.
So moving on, just talking, I mean, about your show is very diverse, and you talked about having the all female crew. Recently, Frances McDormand did the whole two words inclusion writer dropped the mic and left the stage. So what do you kind of feel like that's something that Hollywood should adopt, or do you even know what that really means? And can you explain,
were you aware?
Can
of
you explain to us? What
no,
that
because it's just this new thing that. Once Frances McDormand said it, everyone's all, well, what?
Yeah.
But then, like, some people claim they've known about it. Have you?
I don't even know what that is.
Do you get a writer whenever you, like, you do appearances and stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the inclusion writer is just basically, I forgot what the stipulations were, like, you could have it in your contract to where like 50% of the crew is diverse.
So I've known about writers, period, is like I've heard like J-Lo and like Mariah Carey,
Beyonce,
they would have writers to where like J-Lo's room has to be full of like just puppies. White.
Yeah. Or like,
yeah, or something like
it's
that.
It's like those jokes about like, you know, all M&M. Yellow M&M.
Yeah, it has to be like, so that's what I thought a writer was, is when you have like, if you're doing an appearance, you're doing a concert.
So his inclusion writer is stating that you have to include a certain amount of women and diversity in a
Yeah, so I think it can be any number. It could be like, oh, you have to have at least 50% or 100%.
Like on the cast and crew.
Yeah. Oh,
whether
that's
it be,
awesome.
Whether it be like the star or background or, you know, just it's all there. But it's still kind of, the details are like kind of murky or like I'm not really sure. And I know like a lot of like Michael B. Jordan's production company is going to start implementing that into their productions and things like that. So.
I mean, to me, it's like, I don't think that just has to be a thing. Like, doesn't have to be a contract. Can't it just be a thing?
A thing.
Like,
unfortunately, unless it's contractually obligated.
Yeah,
obligated.
Like,
don't
like,
know
unless they're going to actually have to pay money if they don't do this, they're not going to, like, I don't know. I feel like that could be a bit problematic. But anyways, I just wanted to know if you knew what that was. Like
or
said,
if you, like, you had any opinions on the kind of this whole inclusion writer talk.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea in theory. I can see it, as you said, being very problematic by people taking stuff to extremes. But I think that's also why it's really important to have more women of color or people from different sexual orientations be in positions of power, because otherwise you're going to hire people that just look like you because you kind of inherently trust them. And I don't hold that kind of bias against anybody, you know. I see an Asian person and I immediately just smile, like completely involuntarily, and there's like a sense of trust there because it's familiarity.
Yeah, because you're immediately bonded.
Yeah, and you grow up like with your parents telling you a certain amount of things about like, these are your people and like, these are your cousins and your brothers and your sisters, and you're like, that's a stranger on the street.
I
like,
know,
don't
right?
care.
Like, I don't know though.
Yeah, the Asian people are very like that. It's very weird.
Yes.
Did you raise your hand?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I know.
Me too.
So like, what's up next for you? What do you have in the works?
Ooh, in the works. Yeah. I'm working on an album, so I'm finishing that up.
Like a rap album?
It's indie pop with a lot of rap.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I love how you immediately went to rap.
I know. I was like, is it a comedy album? I was going to say, ask if it's a comedy album.
No, I started in comedy music, but I'm kind of over comedy. Like, nothing's really funny to me.
Oh, nice. So wait, what is it called?
Casualty right now is the tentative title.
Is it indie rap?
It's indie pop, heavily featuring rap. Okay. So the theme of the album is like getting your heart broken in all of these different ways, but coming out on the other side.
Oh, nice. That's interesting.
Is it like your Lemonade?
My Lemonade is probably like 3 years down the future. I gotta get my Jay-Z first.
Right, and then he has to cheat on you.
Yeah.
I met somebody the other day, and I was like, I was like, oh, cool, what do you do? And he was like, oh, I'm an influencer. And I was
your
opinion.
Nope.
Like,
the term influencer.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's gross. I think the only thing grosser is YouTuber. It's like calling yourself a Facebooker. But influencer to me is just like, I don't know. It feels so gaudy. Like, I influence.
It's like a job that someone on The Bachelorette would have, or Bachelor would have.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Like the Wazoo guy, the influencer. So wait, what's the term that you prefer?
Yeah.
I mean, I normally go for actress. If I have to, I can say like I do social media, but I don't really like any of the terms associated with digital right now. I think they're all just so. Ugh.
We should come up with a term.
Digital.
No. But like, I think actress is appropriate.
Which is to say, exactly, because you're acting. So
but like,
why don't we say?
Because immediately you have the same exact reaction when someone tells, like, I'm like, oh, what do you do? And when they're like, they always have their phone in their hand, like, oh, I'm an influencer. And I'm like,
I know there's something about the type of person who defines themselves as an influencer. Like, I would rather say, oh, I'm a digital content creator.
Yeah, that's,
or like something like that.
Or
you
like,
know?
Just say, I don't mind you even saying you're a journalist. Just say it. Or even say you're a blogger.
Yeah.
But an influencer,
okay, cool.
Jesus is an influencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious because I had that reaction. And I was like, maybe that's not, I don't know if that's the right react, but I'm like, influencer, what does that mean?
Right, it's turning all of us off.
Yeah, and I went on his page and all I see is the pictures of, because he's a twin, and I saw pictures of him and his twin, and they just do a whole bunch of poses, and I don't even know what they're posing for. It's like they don't have like a certain brand, that's they're just posing for pictures. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
I guess we're all influencers.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I'm like, I don't want to offend anybody, but influencers.
Yeah.
last movie you saw in theaters?
In the theater.
Annihilation.
Yeah. Ooh, how was that? I haven't seen it yet. Okay.
I didn't get the metaphor off the bat. And then someone told me at the afterwards, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of ties to that.
It helps when someone explains to it. Like, it makes me. Sometimes I'm just really dead.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw Dunkirk, and I was like, oh, that was a fun movie. But when I went home and read more about what
I have to do that too.
Because sometimes you're just like watching different things. I was like, oh, the colors are pretty. Yeah. These flowers are great.
And that's a really, it seems like a very, like a dense movie to like consume.
Yeah.
So you just have to have someone explain it to you. Like, you know, sometimes you need cliff notes or whatever. Okay. What was the first YouTube video you posted?
Oh, wow. It was called Mother Finds Out Daughter Masturbates.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was like, I was making a sketch, and my mom came in and was like harassing me about a condom she found in the trash. And I was like, no, I'm not having sex. Like, that's just for my vibrator because it's easier to clean. And she got really upset. She got more upset about me masturbating than the thought of me having sex, oddly enough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That is so interesting.
But you know what? Like, as an Asian parent, they should be all, oh, that's really resourceful of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it would be a weird conversation.
I think, I think that would be, I have a story about that, but I'm not going to say it. So you said, we talked about your YouTube show, and it's a teen high school. Mm-hmm. Is it a dramedy? Is that what we would say?
Dramedy? Yeah, I would say it's a drama with comedy. I don't know if I call it a dramedy.
A crama?
Yeah, it's a crama.
That being said, what was your favorite 90s high school movie?
Oh, man.
I already have mine.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There were a lot of
There was a lot of good ones.
There were a lot of bad ones.
I mean,
ones
Ferris
too.
Bueller's Day Off maybe was like one of my favorites.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. I said She's All That.
I love She's All That.
Like, mine is Can't Hardly Wait.
Yes.
If you could be any character in a high school movie from the 80s or 90s or whatever, who would you be?
Any
Molly Ringwald. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah. I think I would either do the.
Well, I don't know Breakfast Club. She was a little bit.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club's iconic, though.
I did like her in Pretty in Pink.
You know which one I would be? Do you remember Teen Witch?
Oh my God, yes!
Like when they had that. They were rapping in Teen. I thought that was like the best movie ever. Like Teen Witch. I would do. And she's.
Oh my God,
she's Blake Lively's sister.
She's Blake Lively's sister. I don't know her name.
Robin
but that's a good,
Lively.
Yeah, there you go. Good job.
And so the last question we ask all our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it be an actor, director, storyteller, producer, or any creative who is not in the mainstream that you think people need to pay more attention to and they deserve time, more recognition and time in the spotlight?
Yeah, I would say Mike Dahlquist. Mm-hmm. He's one of my really good friends. We did the Metro commercials together. He's also behind a ton of viral videos like Kazoo Kid and that weird Trump commercial where he turns into like a transformer and blows the earth up. He's just an incredibly talented director, VFX artist, writer, all of the above. And I've been waiting for him to transition into film for the longest time. It's very long overdue.
What's his name again?
Mike Dahlquist.
Look it up, guys.
Yes.
Shout out to Mike Dahlquist.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you could stop by.
Yeah.
Wonderful stories about vibrators.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear your story off the air.
Off mic.
Yeah.
Off mic, yeah, because I don't know if my parents listen to this.
Cool, thank you, Anna.
All right, thank you, Anna.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.